Notice here that the combination of the location of the activity and the location of the payor comes into play. So whenever you have compensation, in order for it to be considered U.S. sourced income, then the activity has to be in the U.S. And we don't really care who the payor is, right? If there's any activity, if there's any delivery of services happening outside of the U.S., it's considered foreign source. All right. So, and it does not matter if you say, I have a professor or a guest lecturer who's going to teach from her office in Barcelona, but all of the students are actually going to sit in a classroom in the middle of Texas. It doesn't matter where the receipt of the activity is. It's where is the performance of the activity. So if in this case, the presenter is sitting in Barcelona and the presenter is a non-resident alien, then it would be considered foreign source. Now, other on the non-service scholarship or fellowship side, you see the boxes are a little bit different. So in order for it to be U.S. source, both the payor and the activity must be in the U.S. So if you have a sponsored grant or restricted account that is for a foreign payor and you're the withholding agent, but the activity is in the U.S., it's still foreign because both of those, it has to be your money or a U.S. entity's money, and the person has to be in the U.S. conducting their activity in order for it to be U.S. source. Now, royalties are sourced at the location where the royalty is exercised, and that tends to be where the intellectual property is consumed. So notice, though, that I do say currently. And that's because we have proposed regulations for the sourcing of royalties. And we're going to talk about that in more detail in just a moment. But the current rule, if you make a payment today and probably tomorrow, because the rules aren't going to change as quickly as we might hope or think, but currently royalties are sourced at the location where the royalty is exercised. Now, when you have foreign source income, there is no requirement of the IRS to have what we would call a foreign source statement, but you do have to have appropriate substantiation, because we all know that if you make a payment today, you're not going to be audited on it tomorrow or next week or even probably even in this or definitely not in this year. Typically, if you're going to be audited on a transaction that happens today, it could be 2 or 3 years from now. Now, I don't know about you, but I have a hard time remembering what I did last week. So I have a hard time remembering why I made a decision on a particular issue last week. So to the extent that you have a foreign source transaction, and remember, when you have a foreign source transaction, there will be it, the payment is removed from gross income. There will then be no withholding and no reporting. So you can imagine that if you are under an audit, the IRS is going to ask you, whoa, hold it. I see this transaction. Why didn't you withhold? Why didn't you report? And they're going to want to immediately apply 1461 and say, well, hold it. You owe the tax, you owe the penalty, and you owe the interest from the time you didn't make this transaction. So you need to have appropriate substantiation to be able to show why you considered that transaction to be foreign source income and thus did not do any withholding and did not do any reporting. So we strongly suggest that you use what we call a foreign source statement. And the foreign source statement, there's no rhyme or reason. You could have a clause in the contract. You could have a simple piece of paper that says, you know, I, Juan Garcia, certify that I am not a U.S. citizen or permanent resident alien. Or you could say, I, Juan Garcia, certify that I'm a non-resident alien and that I'm delivering all of my service in Spain, that I'm doing my all of my non-service scholarship fellowship activity in Spain, whatever the case is. So simply you can substantiate to the IRS that you made that determination and that you have some basis for not doing the withholding or the reporting. Now, as I said, again, you can also put clauses in your contracts where you know, especially when you're dealing with an entity and you might have a more formal contract, or a list of details pursuant to the contract, an addendum or something like that to the contract that says we are engaging the XYZ German company to deliver training for us, and all of the training will be conducted in XYZ German company's offices located in Munich. Okay, so it doesn't have to be a formal statement, a separate piece of paper. You can incorporate that into the contract, but it is important to make that statement because the default is going to be US sourced. So if you hire XYZ German company to do training for you, the presumption is that they're going to get on a plane and come to the US and do that training. So there needs to be some sort of clarification. Perhaps there will be a joint issue where you'll say the installation of the telescope that we are purchasing from XYZ German Corporation will be on our site in Anytown, Iowa. And the subsequent training and ongoing maintenance will be conducted from the offices in Munich remotely. And then you have to do some sort of a proration according to the amount of time spent in either location or the amount of time covered in the contract as to what would constitute an appropriate value for the amount of service that is delivered in the US versus the amount of service that is delivered outside of the US. The IRS expects that you do that. And if you don't, again, the default is to make it 100% US sourced. And if it's 100% US sourced, you fall under 1441. You need to withhold 30%. If you don't do that, then you get the privilege of paying the tax, the penalty, and the interest.